We're continuing in the theme of living in the goodness of God. And today's theme is to look at the God of my valleys. What do I mean? Well, if we read from Psalm 23, we read from verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters," or the quiet waters. "He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths, in the right paths for his name's sake. Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." And it goes on to say, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." There's an old Arab proverb that says this: "All sunshine and no rain makes for a desert." Now, I know I've only lived for 64 and a half years. I'm getting older by the day. Less than some of you and more than some of the rest of you. But one thing I've noticed about life and my life and the lives of those around me is it's a mixture of good times and bad times. Ups and downs, highs and lows, mountains and valleys. And coming to Wales, the one thing I very quickly got to know was that there are valleys in the south of Wales. And I remember when I went to college, they said, "You're going to go and preach in all these little churches in the valleys." The first one I went to was at Treorchy. But I was going up and down these valleys, and I realized that the hills between the valleys were quite important that you knew where they were, because there was a difference between Tredegar and New Tredegar, etc. You needed to know where the valleys were, and so I quickly got acquainted with them. But today, as we look at this theme, the theme I believe God has put within this psalm, it is this: that God is not just the God of the hills, but he's also the God of the valleys. I don't mean just the Welsh valleys, I mean the valleys in our lives. And even in our darkest days, God says, "I am there with you." Let's say that together. God says, "I am there with you." We need to know that, don't we? And verse 4 says this: "Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," that was a really, really dark valley, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." And that word valley got me thinking this week about the God of my valleys. About 2,900 years ago, there was a king in Israel, and his name was Ahab. And the Syrian army decided they were going to depose Ahab. And so the king of Syria lined up 32 nations to come against Israel. Imagine that. You know, we talk about the Lord of the Rings trilogies and the army of the five nations. But actually, this was 32 coming against Israel. So you can imagine it was a fairly big event. And the 32 kings all were allied together. And then the following year, when they came together and they gave battle against Israel, Israel were victorious, and they soundly defeated the king of Syria and these 32 kings who were his allies. So going away with their tail between the legs, they wanted to continue to beat Israel, and they wanted to take over the land. So we read this in 1 Kings 20, verse 23. "The Syrian military advisors went to their king and explained, 'Israel's gods are the God of the hills. And last time we fought them in the hills. That's why they defeated us. But if we fight them in the valleys where they are weak, we will defeat them there.'" So there we are. We've got the intelligence of the nation's advisors saying, actually, it's because God, their God is the God of the hills, not the God of the valleys. So we read this: "They went back to attack Israel, and the Syrian forces then went back and covered the whole countryside. And the Israelites looked like two little flocks of goats compared with this massive army and against them." And it says this: "Because the Syrians think that I am only God of the hills and not that I am God of the valleys. God says, I'm going to give you the victory over this huge army so that everyone will know that I am the Lord. That's what God was saying to Israel. He says, they think I'm only the God of the hills, but I'm not. I'm the God of the valleys too. So they, with the change plan, all these 32 nations attacked Israel. A great imbalance, maybe 100,000 troops coming against Israel's 7,000, something about that sort of nature. And the attacking army thought, it's going to be a slaughter. We're going to beat them hands down, a bit like the Australians trying to beat us at cricket, isn't it? Or New Zealand beating us at rugby. But that wasn't the end of the story, was it? Because God is not just the God of the hills. He is the God of the valleys too. And I think sometimes as we're living our lives, we need to know that really powerfully in our lives. If God is not just the God of good times, he's the God of the difficult times as well, the tough times. And in fact, Scripture tells us that when we're in those tough times, that's when the glory of God shines out from our lives. And God loves for the world to see his glory, which is one of the reasons why he allows some of those tough times. He doesn't create them, but he allows them into our lives so that actually his glory and his wonder and the wonder of his presence can be seen through our lives. And so today, as we go into looking at some of those valleys, I just want to think about actually valley living, because I know those people up in the valleys in Wales here, very much they have a culture of their own. But one of the things we need to understand is that just because we're always looking for the hilltop experience, we need to understand that actually valleys are part of our daily life. They are part of living. When God talked to Israel as they were going into the promised land, this is one of the things he said to them. He said, the promised land you are about to enter is a land of hills and valleys. The tendency is to think that as Christians, that actually when God calls us into the promise of his glorious living with us while we're on this earth, that actually it's all going to be hilltop experiences. But it isn't. As Israel went into the promised land, it was a place of not only hilltops, but also valleys too. And as we know that during their time as they went into the promised land, there were battles to be fought. There were strongholds to tear down. There were real conundrums to try and work out. God was at work, though, in those times. And when we read in 1 Peter 4, verse 12, it says this, don't be surprised when you are tested by troubles or painful suffering, as if something unusual is happening to you. As someone said, if you go and live in the desert, you'll get continual sunshine. If you go and live in Wales, you'll get not continuous rain, but a lot of it. And the fact is that we're not yet living in heaven, where God's sun is effectively shining all the time in that heavenly place. We're living on earth. We're living in an environment where we get all a whole mixture of things, both the sunshine and the rain. And God in his wisdom leaves us here because he says, this is a place where you will grow and where you will become strong and you will show the glory of God. We live in a world which is not just a place of hilltops, but also of valleys too. God is a God who leaves us, who has put us in a world, or has us in a world, where valleys are part of the land that we live in. The second thing to notice is actually that valleys happen to everyone. Psalm 34 verse 19 says this, the good man does not escape all troubles. He has them too. But the Lord helps him in each and every one. Valleys happen to everyone. There's no way that we can escape them. We can't avoid them. They're part of our lives. But notice that word there, in. The Lord helps him in each and every one. We've got problems in our lives, but one thing that we have got, that those who don't know the Lord Almighty, is that we have Him in our lives dealing with all of those issues and all those troubles. God is at work because He's with us in those valleys. And no wonder, actually, the valleys of darkness can become places of joy, because God is with us in them. And He can transform even the darkest valley, even the worst place. When He's at work in them, for us and with us, they become a place very, very different. When we went to live in Cwmbran, we discovered that every winter we run the risk of being snowed in, where we are up in Hentless. You often look up on the hills there and say, oh, there's snow on the hills. But actually, when there's snow on the hills, there's snow in our driveway. It's like that up there. We often get snowed in. It's beautiful, actually. In times, it's so peaceful because of it. But when we went to live there, one of the things we discovered was that's what we'd inherited as part of living there. But God is in all of those situations that we find in our lives. We all go through life with problems, but the truth is, as Christians, we have God with us, helping us. The third thing about valleys is they're unpredictable. I don't know whether you're the same thing as me, but wouldn't it be lovely if you could predict when the crises were going to come along in your life? Wouldn't it be good if you could plan them? Well, I'll do that then, I'll do that then, I'll do that then, do that then. But part of the biggest problems with the valley experiences, they are unpredictable and they come along when you don't expect it. I love what Proverbs 27 says about this. It says, don't ever brag about tomorrow, since you don't know what the day will bring forth. It keeps us on our toes, doesn't it? We never know whether it's going to be a mountaintop day or whether it's going to be a valley day. And I said that we all go through those different valley experiences. The wonderful thing is, God is the one who not only is with us in the valley, but He can see over the mountaintop and He knows when those valleys are coming. And you know, we've got our wonderful God. I don't know whether you find it when you pray. I do. I make a point of praying and asking God to guide my day, to guide my pathway, if you like. And you know, His Spirit is at work every day in my life, because I find He's nudging me about something, and then not until maybe a day or so later, I find out the reason why He was nudging me was because He already knew what was coming. And even though for us the valley may be unpredictable, for God it's not. He can see over those mountains. Praise God. We mustn't brag, but we do need to rely on the God who can see over those mountains. Well, I said we all go through different valley experiences. Here's just a few that I thought you might be interested in that are mentioned in Scripture, because, you know, they have some real validity to our daily life. And the first valley that I want to mention in Scripture is the Valley of Tar Pits, the place where you slip and fall and get stuck. Have you ever been there? Oh, will this day ever finish? Will this, you know, they're talking about the Queen and the Annus Horribilis that she had that particular year, when everything went wrong. She must have felt at the end of that year she was in a valley of tar pits, stuck and not able to get out. Let's read where that's mentioned, shall we? It's in Genesis chapter 14 and verses 1 to 11. I'm not going to read it all, but it says this. In the 14th year, their oppressor recruited his allies to team up and reconquer the land. This was enemies against Israel again. So 9 armies in this case fought in the valley of Siddim. 9 armies, gosh. Everyone seems to gang up on Israel, don't they? There's a real story in that. We'll talk about that another time. And then it goes on to say this. Now this valley was full of sticky tar pits, and when the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah, they were part of Israel, tried to run away from the battle, they slipped and fell and got stuck in the pits. So the invaders plundered the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and took away everything they had. That included Lot and his family as well. They were captured and carted off. They fought in the valley of Siddim. And that place was a sticky place where they got stuck and slipped and fell. Siddim is, if you like, a picture of a place maybe of our failures. Have you ever been stuck with sin that you just can't get rid of? Or maybe you've made an almighty mess of something in your life and you just feel it's a place of failure and you just can't get away from it. Where we've fallen, where we've got stuck, and as a result, maybe we've lost some or maybe even all of what we've had. Tough times, sometimes of our own making and sometimes not. The truth is that going through life, we're all going to hit this valley at some time or other because none of us are perfect. None of us can always make that good decision. There are going to be times when we really mess up. We slip and fall. And maybe when we try and run, we just don't get anywhere. Maybe we get stuck in the tar and just can't get up. I think all of us will know where our Siddim, if you like, valley is today, or where it's been. Well, the amazing truth is that God is still with us, even in those valleys too. You see, God can get out of us. Forgiveness of sin is all about getting the clay and the chains off our feet so we can get up and get out and escape and find freedom once again. That's the story of Scripture, that He sets us free. That's why He says we should forgive others so that we can be forgiven. So we're not only set free of those chains that we've put on ourselves, but we're also set free of those chains that we're holding on other people to. So we can be free to know the joy of God's forgiveness in our lives. Yes, God is with us in the valley of Siddim. Listen to this. Psalm 40 is talking about this valley. It says this: He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. David was speaking about what had happened in his life and how he'd fallen and failed. And he'd get stuck in the sin of his life. And yet God lifted him up and forgave him and put him back into that place of freedom and relationship and joy with God. Hallelujah. And he praised the Lord for what God was doing. Second valley is the valley of Eshkol, if you haven't heard of that. And that's the valley of fear, where fear stops us from getting God's blessings. I don't know whether you know where that is. If you want to read it, it's in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 23 onwards. I'm going to read up on the screen some of it, because it was actually when the children of Israel sent the spies into the promised land to look at the land and see how good it was and when and how they should go in. And we read this: Then the spies came to the valley of Eshkol. The fruit was so abundant that they cut off a grape bunch which had a giant cluster of grapes on it. But it was so large and so heavy that it took two men to carry it. Gosh, that's a big bunch of grapes, isn't it? This is a place of amazing abundance and blessing. And they also brought back samples of beautiful pomegranates and figs. So that was the valley they were in. But listen to this. This was their report to Moses. It is indeed a magnificent country, rich and fertile, and here's some fruit as proof. But, the big word that's tiny but has a big effect. The people living there are powerful and stronger than we are. They look like giants to us, and in our own eyes we felt as small as grasshoppers next to them. Can you see the fear that's affecting what they can get from that in that valley? That place of abundant blessing, and yet their fear just stopped them receiving it, and they didn't go into that promised land. I think we all have that, don't we, in our lives. God promises us amazing blessings if we walk in His ways and we follow His ways. But fear of those around us who tell us, actually, we don't recognize God. We don't agree with His ways. You've got to live by our ways. That's what our world is doing to us today. He's saying, be fearful. We're going to make it because you don't tolerate our ways. We're going to make you fearful of what we will do to you. The number of people who are being told off for speaking out about what God's word says and what our world is doing and saying it's sin. Those people today are being intimidated. They are being made fearful when God says, if you follow my ways, you will be blessed. We can be like that too. We can, as we try and speak out about our faith, as we talk to our neighbours about how God, good God is, and how Jesus is the only way, they say, oh, you can't say that. You can't say that. That's intolerant. You've got to accept that. Well, there are many ways to God. Well, that's a lie. Fear. When we feel that fear, we need to remember this valley, because it was a place of blessing, but it was fear that robbed them from receiving that blessing. Whose report will we believe? And it's very interesting that in Isaiah, there's a talk about we should believe the report of the Lord. When those spies came back, the people chose to believe the reports of the spies who were fearful, rather than the reports of Joshua and Caleb, who said, we need to go in. We need to follow the Lord in all the things that he calls us to do. The third valley is this. It's the valley of Elah, the valley of conflict, when giants stand in your way. And you probably guess when I'm talking about giants, yes, this is the valley of Goliath. Do you remember that Goliath, that man who stood and railed against the people of Israel? Let's read that. Numbers 13. Saul and the Israelites camped in the valley of Elah and drew up battle plans to fight the Philistines. The Philistines and the Israelites each stood their ground, shouting and taunting each other from opposite hills, with the valley of Elah between them. Now the Philistine army had a giant champion fighter named Goliath, who was about 9 feet tall. Can you imagine that? Little David, huge Goliath. That was what was going on in that valley. The giants were trying to tell David, the giant was trying to tell David that he could do nothing in the face of him. But that was a lie too. When Saul and the Israelites saw this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. But David said this, don't worry about a thing. David told Saul, I'll go and fight this Philistine. And then in 1 Samuel 17, verse 45, we read this. David said to the Philistine, this is to Daniel, Goliath, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day, the Lord, not me, the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. God being with us in that valley doesn't mean that we suddenly have the superhuman ability to be able to defeat the enemy, but because God is there, as he said to the children of Israel when they went into the promised land, every place where you put your feet, I will give you. And God being with us is all about the fact that God is able to beat even the biggest giants. The answer in this valley is for us to remember God's sheer size in comparison with the enemy that stands against us. You see, God is for us as he is with us. Everywhere we go, if we're walking in God's way, if we're living by his standards, if we're living as he instructs us, God is with us. There is no one who can come against us. That's why scripture says if God is for us, whoever can be against us? Why should we ever fear? And the fourth valley is this, the valley of Baca, which is mentioned in Psalm 84. There are lots of valleys in the Bible, so don't worry, I'm not going to go through them all. But just these are representative of sometimes of our lives, because this valley of Baca is some that I one that I know all of us will go through at some time, because it is the valley of weeping. Blessed are those whose strength comes from the Lord as they pass through the valley of Baca. That's the valley of weeping. They make it a place of springs, and the autumn rains cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, growing until each appears before God in Zion. That place is a tough place. We all know that, don't we? That place of weeping. The actual word means to weep. It's actually a dry and dusty, arid wasteland. And if you wanted to go to Jerusalem, guess what? Everyone who went on pilgrimage had to go through the Valley of Baca. That was the only way you could get to Jerusalem, was by going through that valley. Isn't that true of our lives as God's creation? All of us at some time will lose someone. All of us at some time will reach that point where we say goodbye to grandparents, to parents, and sometimes even to children. Yes, weeping is part of our lives. But it says in verse 5 and 6, blessed are those, though, whose strength comes from the Lord, because as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. This is a word picture again about when we're going through those times in our life. Maybe it's grieving, and when it feels like nothing grows here. As the hymn sometimes says, death and decay and all around I see. The fact is that when we have the strength of the Lord with us, something changes. Because our tears, instead of being tears of grief, God turns them into tears of joy. And you know, we can bless that valley. We can bless not only our own lives in that place as we get our strength from the Lord, but we can bless the lives of those around us. Do you know, the one thing that we have that our world cannot measure is the fact that we have a hope, because we know that this valley doesn't end in this valley. Death is not the destination for the sons and daughters of the living God. Heaven is the destination of eternal life. And because of that, we can go through that valley. And as we come out of it, people around us who are stuck in that valley can say, there's hope. And we can bring such refreshment to the lives of others because of the hope we have within us. I've spoken to umpteen funeral directors over the years, and they tell me that the one thing different about a Christian funeral is there's hope. Because it's not the end, is it? And in that valley, there are many people around us in our world, and they need to see that hope. We may be streaming tears of grief, but at the same time, we should be streaming tears of joy, because it doesn't end here. Hallelujah. We can make it into a place of great joy. We can make it into a place of joy. And we need to remember in these valleys we're not alone, because God is with us. Remember, we're talking about the size of God against the size of Goliath. Listen to these promises, what God made in Isaiah. When you go through deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. That is the God who is with us. Hallelujah. No wonder we're able to say God is good. And we need to understand this too, that good things grow in those valleys. If we were all mountaintops in Wales, all we would have is a few sheep. But because we've got valleys, our Welsh landscape can grow some amazing crops. Because you see, the best place for crops to grow is actually in the valleys. Because not only do they get some sunshine in the day, but they also get some rest from the sun. They also get the water to water them. It's also a protected place. And if you know anything about gardening, you know that actually one of the things that our crops and our plants need is they do need protection. And the valleys is one of those things that give them. And if you like, in that picture of the fact that good things grow in valleys, we read Romans 5 verse 3. It says this: we can even rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And that kind of hope does not disappoint us. Do you know, God is growing us in those valley experiences. And Scripture tells us he's preparing us for glory. That means he's preparing us. So when we arrive in heaven, we are perfect. We are just like Jesus Christ in our hearts, because not only have we been through the hilltop experiences, but we've been through the valleys too. Yes, God is bigger than any giant or circumstance. And there's a lovely verse in Hosea chapter 2 which says this: I will transform the valley of trouble into a gateway of hope. Now, I don't know what circumstance you're in this week or this year, but I'd love you to hang on to that verse this year, to understand the God who walks with you. He wants to transform that valley, whatever you're going through today, into a gateway of hope as he opens up. And there's another joy of that valley as well. The rewards will last forever. For our present troubles are quite small. They won't last very long, yet they are producing in us an eternal glory that will last forever. And that's a verse to grab hold of as well. So, there we go. But I do want to say this just to finish. There is one final valley we'll not go into in detail, but it is spoken of in Scripture, and that is the valley of decision. And at some time, all of us will have to make a choice about whether we walk with God so that he can walk with us or not. You see, with God with us, all those blessings are ours. But when we don't choose to walk with God, he will not walk with us in those valleys. And we will miss out on those blessings as well. We need to make that right decision. Joel chapter 3 puts it like this: multitudes, yes, multitudes are in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. May God grant us the wisdom and the understanding to say, I will walk with God so that he can walk with me. There's a song we sing which we're not going to finish with, but it says this: through our God we shall do valiantly. It is he who shall tread down our own enemies. We'll sing and shout the victory when Christ is Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your goodness in our lives. We thank you for your goodness and your love for the whole of your creation. And we thank you too that as we choose to walk with you, so you walk with us in all of those situations. We thank you for your goodness in those times when we're stuck, when you forgive us and help us. Lord, we thank you for those times when we face giants, and you are bigger than any giant we will ever find. Lord, we thank you for those times of fear, when those things around us try and intimidate us and stop us from following you. Lord, we thank you that you are with us in all of the circumstances of our lives. And we thank you today that, Lord, we can trust you, even in the valley of Baca, the place of weeping, and how through our lives and our trust in you, you can turn it into a place of joy. Thank you, Lord, for the hope you put within us. Thank you, Lord, for the hope that we can share. And Lord, may you be with us today in all we do. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.